I want the last thing that I posted to be part of my message to the world. So if my posts don't equal that message, then it's not an energy signature I want to have in the world. And that's how I filter out, should I share this thing? Should I not share this thing in my stories?
Hello, friend, and welcome. I'm Tammy Enfield, brand strategist, marketing expert, and creator of the Candid Content Framework. Through conversations with creators just like you and sharing stories from brands and thought leaders, we'll harness the power of authenticity and give you the confidence to create content that empowers you and your audience. If you're ready to build a kinder, more empathetic world, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Candid Content Revolution.
Hello, friends. I am so excited to share this conversation with you that I had with Amy Schutte. She's a PR and brand strategist and owner of Hudson & Co. and has been in my peer network for, I'm not even sure how long, 7 or 8 years, maybe. She's a magician when it comes to PR. And we talked about advocacy during this conversation and if and when to advocate for things, when it feels like it's just adding to the noise, or do you feel like you're actually making a difference? And the other thing we touch on a little bit is authentic content. Is it authentic to show up in a way that you want to be versus in the way that you are now? And it's such a fun conversation. I was so excited when I got done with this episode. I think that there's tidbits in here that you'll pick up and learn from, some things you'll agree with, some things you might not, and that's okay. I think that's the beauty of authentic content. We don't all have to agree with each other, but we can respect each other and we can show up with love, empathy, kindness, and leave our digital signature a little bit lighter in a world full of darkness. So anyway, I can't wait for you to listen to it. I'd love to hear what you think. Feel free to DM me on Insta at Tammy Enfield or find me on LinkedIn. But I respect Amy and her expertise. And as you'll hear, we've both been clients of each other, and she will forever be a mentor and friend and peer of mine. So excited for you to hear. Listen on. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the podcast. Let the listeners know who you are, where you are, what you do.
My name is Amy Schutte. I live in beautiful Idaho, and I am the owner of Hudson & Co. We're really focused on brand strategy, transformational messaging, and really helping our clients, everyone from startups to Fortune 500 companies, get seen, get heard, get results, but without the burnout. I'm very big on creating brands that are very sustainable and that can help people have the impact that they really want in the world, as well as the income.
So excited. We were speaking a little bit before the recording, and I was sharing with Amy my experience of Amy online. We met in, I bet that was 2018 or 19.
Yeah, Tammy. It's been a while ago.
It's been a long time. And you were my story brand spark. Hung out with you there. And I think I hired you for some coaching, but I've loved from my experience of you, it's watching you come into yourself. And I know you say come home to yourself a lot on your podcast and in your content. It's all about coming home to yourself. I've really watched you. From the outside perspective, it looks like you're stepping into yourself, like you're truly embracing who you are and how you want to show up in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it's been really inspiring to me. So I am really excited to have a conversation about what that's been like for you to do that publicly, somewhat publicly, what that's been like for you.
Ooh. I'm excited. I think that's the real raw, and this is what I love about you and your candid framework and this authenticity message that you are pushing, because I do think that as we undo and unlearn, we get to the real heart of who we are supposed to be. It's one we have to go through. And so I appreciate your reflection of watching my journey, because yes, I think I'm just stepping into that next level right now and each season and level is its own challenge and fun thing. So, and you're right, not everything's on Instagram and it's not always shiny and it's not always pretty. So yeah, let's go there.
Okay. So different iterations of your business, coming up with a framework. Do you think, how has social media played a part in your awareness of yourself? I always find like when I follow other people or when I can see myself in someone else's story, I then can learn something a little bit more about myself.
Yes. I think what I love about social media is that it's an opportunity for us to exchange stories. It's a place to find inspiration. It's a place to find education. It's a place to find entertainment, right? Social media can be whatever you want it to be. It can be bad. It can be good. It can be whatever. But for me, it's been a beautiful place to share stories, to receive stories, to connect with people that I would have never had a chance to connect with otherwise. And so I think for me personally, social media has been really powerful in, as you said, like iterations of me too. It's nice to kind of go back and look at earlier posts I've done on Instagram or things that I was thinking and sharing and then watch as, you know, I know people make jokes like, oh, that was so cringe back then, but I don't see it as that. I just see it as this beautiful digital scrapbook of moments and thoughts that I have had and was perfect for that moment and maybe is a different iteration now in this moment.
Yeah, we're different people. My friend Lana and I often text each other screenshots of like the Facebook memories that come up from a long time ago. I was like, oh, look at what 2007 Tammy was saying.
Yes, you're completely different. You're five different humans by now.
I don't think social media gets enough credit for the good it does. Obviously there's a lot of negativity and false information and a lot of harm it can cause individuals in mental health. But most of the people that I've interviewed on this podcast and that I work with, I've met online.
Yeah, 100%. It's such a great connector. And we need that. We need that connection in our online worlds and our online businesses. I know there's harmful things. I have two kids, so I'm always considering what does this look like for them when they eventually get access to it? How do we build those foundations now? But for me as a businesswoman, it has been a phenomenal opportunity to connect with other people.
Can you think of any specific post or story in terms of what helped you think differently about how you wanted to show up on social?
Yeah. Okay. Let's get authentic here, Tammy. Yeah,
let's do it.
You know, I started my business. I had my first son. I went back to work and I had this huge, at that point, I didn't know what it was, but it didn't feel good. I didn't want to be at work. I didn't want my son in daycare. None of it felt good to me. But that was the story I had believed. You work so hard in your career, your kids go to daycare, you do this thing, all those pieces. And so, but my work environment quickly became a very toxic place for me as a mom. And part of that was probably my own energetics of really not wanting to be there. But I also had some other, you know, a lot of shaming for, you know, feeding my kid, for even having a kid. And so that was really hard. And there's a lot of, to me personally, as a Enneagram 3 and someone that had worked so hard and always wanted to have this achievement and be rewarded for that and seen as someone who is successful, to be so shamed in the workforce for this thing felt so icky and dark. And I didn't want to tell people about it because for some reason it felt like it was my fault. And so when I left that job and started my own business, I didn't talk about my boss. I didn't talk about any of those things for a long, long time. And I do remember though, when I was finally moving and, you know, taking responsibility for my own life, shifting my own pieces, you know, going dark to come back out into the light, all the things we have to do as business owners and humans. There were a couple times when I started talking about this thing with motherhood and how we get to co-create our own lives. And there's going to be people that aren't going to like it. And those posts had such a big ripple effect throughout my community because people were saying, me too, that happened to me. I was shamed for this. This happened to me with my kid. And so that connection of sharing a story that had been in the dark. I had kept it in the dark and I hadn't wanted to talk about it because it did have so much shame attached to it. Bringing it into the light and having other people acknowledge it and say, yes, me too, had a huge, profound impact on the way that I then started showing up online and telling that story in different ways, right? We have to keep reframing things over and over. But I think that was a story or a post and iterations of that story that have really shifted the way I've done things or talked about things online.
Do you see it? Did it help you heal?
I don't know if it helped me heal, but it did. I think acknowledging it to strangers where I was just putting it out there and not responsible for their reaction to it necessarily was a good exercise in the healing I needed to do, if that makes sense. So I wouldn't say necessarily that made me heal, but I do think it was part of the process of just writing about something that was hard and then trusting that I could let it go in the universe and it may have a negative reaction from people or it may have a positive, but it was no longer my story to hold as far as the responsibility around how people were going to react to it. So I do think that was helpful.
There's so many correlations between how authentic people are and how they experience or report less mental health issues because I've been studying on it a lot. I'm by no means an expert yet, but hiding pieces of yourself is so exhausting. And only sharing filtered versions feels fake. And I think that's why we all feel so disconnected and lonely in this world.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I also do think though that there are, at least I realize my brand is a more luxury brand. I mean, the work that we do is high investment, it's high touch. I want people to feel very taken care of. And we do that work together. And so I also very thoughtfully make sure that the things that I am putting out online are filtered through that brand strategy of making sure that I'm not here to just throw all my emotions on people online. I want this to feel like it's a safe space for them to have that connection with me. But I think there's places and spaces with the right people to be very authentic and share all the things. And then there's other places where we have to be very aware of how we are filtering information or things just to make sure it's safe for you and your nervous system and also safe for the people that are receiving that information as well.
So part of what I hear you talk about and what I've witnessed in you is that showing up and leaning into the business owner or the woman, the mom, all the things, leaning into who you would need to be in order to live the life that you've dreamed of, you've imagined, you've written for yourself, right? And is social media a tool for that? Can you live into who you want to be online? There's a question here. Living into the type of lifestyle I want or showing up as the woman I want to be in 2026 online, is that authentic? Is social media a tool for that for you? Or do you think that that's an authentic version of yourself? I'm going to shut up now and let you talk.
No, I mean, I think this is a good question. I'm going to dial it back just a little bit. Okay. So I really believe we get to co-create the lives that we want. I believe that so deeply within my soul. And I think the path to do that, I think you could argue, yes, that's authentic or no, that's inauthentic. But I do believe we get to speak things into existence. I also believe brands are living things. So brands get to evolve with time. Just because you set a brand strategy and set a way of being in a brand does not mean that that brand has to be that way forever. And when we're talking about personal brands, we get to evolve just as quickly, but we also need to stay true to certain things. So I believe we have values that we live our lives by, and it's so great to know these are my top five values and everything gets filtered through those things so that I can stay authentic even as I am growing and changing. But I know that integrity is important to me. I know that love is important to me. I know that these things are critical to me being my best self in the world. So I think we can show up online as her, you know, be her, whoever she is that you're dreaming of, if she is a certain way. But it's less about the look of something than it is about who you are truly stepping into. So even if you're saying, I don't have a luxury brand, but I want to live a luxury life. Well, that doesn't mean everything that you're showing online has to be luxury, right? You don't have to show me your Lamborghini. You can just be her. What does luxury feel like for you? Is it being at peace? Is it having time and space to do what you want to do? Is it growing your garden and getting to like play with your kids or play more just to be you? Like, what does that look like? Who do you have to be to enjoy those luxuries? And I think that's very different than like a material luxury approach that we're seeing online all the time of like, yeah, I hired this plane so I can take videos with it because I look really cool. Like that is completely fabricated versus like, who do we actually have to be to get to be that person if that's what we value, that's what we choose. So I don't know if that's quite answering your questions, but
it does.
I think we get to, yeah, we get to co-create. We get to say what we want.
I believe we can co-create. And I also believe, I think our social media posts are a digital reflection of us. I think it's a term was brought to my attention yesterday in terms of like an energetic signature is what somebody yes. called it. It's like a, yeah. your social media posts have energy and people can feel it. Mm-hmm. That's what we talk about in branding all the time, right? How do you want people to feel when they land on your website? What problems do you, like when we're talking even about messaging, it's what adjectives should we use? What values, what words should we use to help people to find the right people, to help people feel a certain way when they're on your website. And I think how does it feel to post that energy online? How do you know if you've posted it? Like I can, you're really good at it. The way you show up feels good. I feel the love. I feel the values, I feel the expertise. Like, I think that there's a line there too, in terms of women specifically feel like if they are sharing their expertise, they are being vain or egotistical. If they say, you know, when they're owning their genius. And I really do think you do it in a way that feels solid, grounded.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I receive that. Thank you. There's always so much more work to do, but you asked, okay, so your question was, how do you know if you're infusing energy into your posts? Is that the question?
Yeah. I mean, if your post is an energetic reflection of you, how do people know that they're doing it?
Sure. Okay. This sounds a little bit morbid, but I'm going to go here real quick. First of all, I think everything is energy. And yep. When we're talking about creating a brand, which as we are showing up in the world and creating personal brands and business brands, we always have to be very thoughtful about what we are putting out there, because you're right, it is our energetic signature. And so when I am sharing things or posting things, I want it to be very aligned, and it may not be, I may change, right, in 5 years or 10 years, but I want it to be aligned with who I am now and who I want to be and this life that I'm living in. Everything is energy. Whether I hire you and you're posting for me, it's still energy out in my sphere, correct? So this is my morbid thing. And I was talking to my friends about this because social media can be fun. There's lots of things to share. Also, it can be very intense. We're in a political time where we exchange information online all the time. And I have widely stayed away from that just because of this one thought. I know this sounds so morbid, but we're all going to die at some point, correct? Right? Everyone's dying, all living and dying. I think about all the time, if I died tomorrow and my social media is what my kids get to go back and look at and remember me, right? Because then it becomes like a legacy page. Is this something that I will be so proud that they get to see later on? Or would this feel completely out of alignment with the way that I want to guide my children, or something like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I think about this all the time, because when anyone dies, the first thing we all do is we go find their social media page. And if the last thing that they posted is like a very funny meme, but maybe it's off color or whatever, that's okay. Maybe that's their energetic signature into the world. that's not the energetic signature I want to have. I want the last thing that I posted to be part of my message to the world. And my message to the world is we take responsibility for ourselves. We get to co-create amazing things. We get to create and love our lives. Love should be at the center of this. That's my message. So if my posts don't equal that message, then it's not an energy signature I want to have in the world. And that's how I filter out. Should I share this thing? Should I not share this thing in my stories? Is this my soapbox I need to get very political on? Or is this, am I just trending with everyone else and getting sucked into like the 3D consciousness around whatever this topic is? Yes or no. So that's how I filter through things, Tammy. I don't know if that is helpful, but
it is. It is. It does bring up political shits all over online.
Sure.
Where is the line of, like, there are a few hills I will die on that I believe so strongly in.
Yes, so will I.
And there are clear sides that those hills exist. Mm-hmm. What's the difference do you see as leaving an energetic signature of love and taking responsibility and co-creation and advocacy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a great question. I think this is an ongoing conversation we all have to have over and over. I love that we're going to go here. I agree. There are certain things that you and I and whoever's listening that we are going to be so passionate about. And I think that is so critical, right? Especially women, mothers, we are the ones that see the gaps, experience the gaps, and get to be loud, right, in those spaces. I think this goes back to our value work. And this is the work I do with my clients all the time. I say, you know, what are your values? And I always talk about the reciprocity stories. What's the reciprocity story? Where are you donating your time, your money, your energy? We all need to have that generosity piece within our business. And I think that reflects too. I'm like, what that gives us parameters around, like, where does our advocacy need to lie? I may be very passionate about this thing, but does that actually fit in with the values and the story that I am trying to tell with my life all the time? Yes or no? I can be very passionate about that thing without causing a complete chaos online and make my followers go, whoa, what is this, right? I can be donating to that thing behind the scenes. I can be following the news there and understanding what that means. Is that generous? Is that part of advocacy? Yes. Or do I just need to give it lip service online and that feels part of my branding and my values and I feel comfortable with that? But I have found, Tammy, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is that oftentimes we just kind of jump on the bandwagon of what everyone else is sharing. You know, we start, there's this thing that comes and we're all really upset about it online and we share. And then the next day something else happens and we're all share. And we're just sharing into the void. Like, it's just chaos. But are you donating to that? Do you actually care about that in 10 years, in 5 years, in 5 days? Is it just a 5-minute thing? I don't know. So I try to not be sucked into those things as much as I am. Like, what are my three core things? What are my hills that I'm going to die?
What are my hills?
And yeah, then I'm going to stay there, right? To me, early childhood ed, that's a hill. Mothers and like maternal health and how we take care of moms, that's a hill. Our earth, our planet earth or Mother Gaia and how we are extracting things from her all the time without this reciprocity, that's a hill. Those are my three hills. So the other things that fit into that, do I care about these wars? Do I care about what's happening over here? Of course I do. Am I going to be over the top sharing about it online? Probably not, because I also want to make sure I'm sharing from an informed place. And I think a lot of us cannot trust a lot of the sources and the things that we're coming up with at this point in time. And so I like to ask myself, am I adding to the noise or am I adding to, you know, actual solution for this? And that's where I draw the line. But I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I love the filter of, is this something that I would share in 5 days? And do I actually support it or give money to it? Like, I do see a lot of people hopping on bandwagons and sharing stuff because all of their friends are angry about it. And then they feel the need to be angry about it too. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation, and I don't remember who I was having this conversation with, but when we're sharing something online and it's our belief, your belief that early childhood education is important, are we sharing it in a way that is coming from a place of trying to change people's minds? Are we so set in the way and what we believe that we think everyone else is wrong? Or are we sharing it in a way that opens up different perspectives? Are we trying to, does that make sense? Like,
yes.
Absolutely. Is the energy of it trying to be like, if you don't believe this, you, or, or is it a, this is what I believe. This is why, maybe here's a story about why I believe that. Or, you know, like, I think story is hugely important in advocacy. Like, why do I care about women's rights? Right? Have I ever experienced any point in time where I have had my rights taken away? Probably, no, there's no huge pivot story that I have been traumatized because of my being a female. But is that a hill I'll die on? Yes, absolutely. I want my daughter to have more rights than I do. And as it sits right now, she might not, right? Like, so it's a hill I'll die on. Am I trying to make people believe that women's rights is important and they should believe what I believe? And this is, I don't know the answer to that question. Like, the energy of it is sometimes angry. And it feels like there's injustice and I want people to care about it. And sometimes it's more of like, here's why this is important to me in a story with it. So how do you know, is it okay to share both of those? Or is your belief that we should only share it from a, like, I'll let you speak back to that. The belief versus the energy of changing someone's mind versus advocacy.
Yeah. This is such a fun conversation, Tammy.
I know.
I love this. Okay. It's to return to our original conversation about, like, yeah, coming home to ourselves.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you what is the right way to do this or the wrong way. I don't know.
I've done both and I don't,
I want to, like, honor though. I believe true advocacy work can be absolutely so empowering. It can be absolutely so exhausting and it can take generations after generations. So I like to filter it through. Is this going to impact peace, which is a huge, my inner peace? Like, do I want to put this out on the internet for people who I don't even have relationship with to be in a dialogue with them? Is that really important to me? Or is it more important for me to sit with this concept of whatever it is and what's happening currently in the world and filter it through? Okay, that's very important for me. I'm going to talk about it within the walls of my home and my family. And I'm going to discuss this with people I trust to have, like, these deep conversations and try to say, like, what do you think? Because again, you're right. I think there's this holy rage, right? Where we just come at it and people are just, I cannot believe this happened, right? We're like,
yeah,
freaking out online and sharing this thing.
Yeah.
F that person. We hate them, blah, right? Which is division. And I truly believe, especially from working on projects that have been so divided, that the right and the left are the same coin, right? Just two different sides. And we have gone so far. And if we could just
come back to middle, I know.
Come here and have conversations and say, okay, you look at it like this way. I'm seeing it like this. This person over here is seeing it like this. All three of those things can be true at one time. If I share this post, whatever it is, and I am enraged, does that actually do anything for you receiving that post, or does that hurt you, right? You know, and I'll just give an example. We are living in a world where Trump was just elected. I had friends on both sides saying online, you know, at this time, and these are dear friends to me, if you voted for him, F you, I hate you. Never talk to me again. Yep. Okay.
Well, obviously, friends too. Maybe it's the same friends.
98% of the country, or however many, voted for him and he's in. So are you saying, you're saying that out of anger, but if I voted for him, all of a sudden that impacts my friendship with you because you're now saying, like, I hate you, but you and I haven't had this conversation and you love me. You're my friend. You come to my Christmas dinner. Like, we hang out together. We get dinner once a week. Like, this is just an example. But I think we have to be so at least I like to be so thoughtful with what I share and how I share it online. Because again, your worldview and my worldview are going to be very different. And if my message and the thing I want to leave behind or my energetic signature is of love and of co-creation and all these other things, does that really aid in this? Right. No, yeah. No. But there's other things I can be very upset about. But again, are you going to actually put skin in the game? Are you donating? Are you figuring out how to volunteer? Are you doing this stuff? If you're not, but you're posting about it all day online and just causing internal chaos and getting at people in your DMs, I'm sorry, you're not making the world a better place by doing that.
More
chaos, right? This is my personal opinion.
No, well, this is part of the candid content framework, though. Like, I think the most important piece of the framework that I write content through is as the creator of this post, whether I'm writing it for myself or I'm writing it for a client.
Sure.
Are they going to feel good about the post? Mm-hmm. Will this post make them feel daring in a way that is positive? Not sharing wounds, not trigger talk or anything. Are we sending love or delight? Like, as the creator, what's this doing for me? And then the other half of the candid is, what's it doing for a person on the other end of the screen?
Yeah.
I have seen this divide. I also have very dear friends that voted differently than me. We've had both heated conversations and not. Like, am I proud of every conversation I've had? No. Have I done it online? No. I think that there's big platforms out there. People have built big platforms. People with personal brands that have continually worked towards building their platforms are sometimes using those platforms for the I believe this, and if you don't believe this, then I hate you, or I like, stay away from me, or don't hire me, or you don't want, you know. And that's, like, to your point, you're not sending love into the internet. We're not improving anyone's experience online when we're using platforms like that. And I think people need, and you said this before too, like, your belief is that we co-create and take personal responsibility for who we are. We need to take personal responsibility for what we're putting out into the world, mm-hmm. on these social platforms and within our homes.
And what we're consuming, right? We have so much responsibility about what we actually consume. I also want to be very clear. If there's something that you are passionate about and you feel like that is your calling in the world to right that injustice or to be a part of it, right? If you're doing true advocacy work, this message may not be for you.
No. This is just for... Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. This is
I don't want to whitewash this as far as, like, we should just be love and light.
Never
talk about that. I don't want that to, I want it to be clear in the fact that, like, if there are things you are passionate about and it's part of your values, it's part of who you are, and it is something you're going to care about 5 days from now and 10 years from now, then, oh my gosh, make that part of your
message. 100%. It should be a pillar. It should be, you know, yes.
Yes. But if you're just like sharing to share just to do, I personally try to fall away from that category and come back to these things of, like, where do I really want to put my energy?
Yeah. What can I influence? Right.
And what is my right to influence as who I have chosen to be in this lifetime as a white, straight, privileged woman? What do I really get to speak about? And it's my experience, the things I am able to call out, and how can I support other people in their causes? But again, it can be behind the scenes too. You don't always
have to do it online.
Raging.
Yeah. I think this is I love this conversation. I knew this would be a fun one with you. I wish more people would have conversations like this.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, how, I don't know. I love your filter though, of if I died tomorrow, looking at my Facebook, because my dad passed away suddenly in 2017 and he didn't have the legacy thing set up, but I went in and quickly did that for him. And I own the page, and I took down some posts of his that were the last ones, just because he was an alcoholic, and sometimes he posted in not his best self, did not make some posts.
I mean, we all do it, right?
Yeah. And what energy did I want people that are grieving him to see and feel, you know? I love that filter. I wish more people would. It's a little morbid, but it is the one thing we all have in common.
Yeah, it is.
We are all going to die.
And we didn't, our parents got access to Facebook, you know, later than we did, but, like, we're the Facebook generation. We got to, you know, make Facebook, but this wasn't a filter for our grandparents. It's probably not a filter for our parents, right? They're just there to, like, be on there, and they're like, I don't even know how to work Facebook, right? But I think for us, this generation of humans get to say, how do we really want to make sure that we are leaving things online? Because it is very much our online home.
Yeah. It has been my challenge throughout my career to teach authenticity and what vulnerability online can look like through a positive lens versus I will never be the one crying in my car or under my desk talking on Instagram Live. I won't. A, I'm pretty well medicated, so I don't cry very often. but B, that's not me. But that is a question of like, how do you talk to people? How do you know that line or that filter of vulnerability? How do you help people with that?
I think this is a beautiful place to discuss and figure out what that looks like for each person. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but just like with stepping into our identity, I think it's the same with stepping into authenticity is our capacity to hold what that actually means. And then like we talked about earlier, not being responsible for how people are taking it and running with it and doing it. Once it's out there, right? So we need to make sure our nervous systems are safe. We've created safety in our bodies that we feel comfortable with this to then release it into the world. And so I think there are baby steps, action steps, just like building muscle at the gym or anything else. There are things we can do just to start taking steps toward authenticity. And also though, Tammy, and I don't know how this fits into your framework, I'm an Enneagram 3. I can chameleon up with the best of them. I can be in boardrooms and I can also be a 4 switch with you, right? Like I can do these things and make you feel very comfortable in each space because I know how to chameleon. So when you say authenticity to me or vulnerability to me, that feels very scary because if I am very vulnerable, I cannot control your reaction to it. I don't know how you might react online, right? So I have to create and make sure my capacity is able to stay true to whatever I am sharing. And it's something that I feel comfortable sharing. So we can do that within taking steps within our friend groups, whatever that looks like before we're like putting all the things out there online. And again, I like to use a filter of, is this on brand for me? Because my most authentic self may not be something that people actually ever see on LinkedIn or Instagram. My most authentic self is playing with my kids and being really silly and doing this thing. Is that something I'm going to be pushing all the way out into all these places? No, because maybe it's too sacred for me to share, right? So I think we have to keep asking ourselves over and over again, is this useful? Does this move my message along? Is it true? Is it true now? Is it true in the future? If so, then let's share it. If it's not, it just feels like a grab. Like, I think I should be authentic. So here's this thing, a picture of me crying. Does that feel good? Is that useful? Does that move my story along? It might not. So I think it keeps coming back to our own intuition of trusting ourselves to feel, to know what we actually do want to share and at what time.
I love it. I also love that you mentioned it's and I don't know if it was right now or previously, being a muscle that we have to build. I do think the more you do it, the easier it gets. And it does, I don't want to say addictive is not the right word, but I know when a post is, I consider myself to have pretty good intuition. And when I write a post that I know is going to hit well, I get excited. And not for like the possibility of going viral. I want to be clear when I say that because I don't strategize for virality, but meaning I can feel it's going to impact people. I can feel that people need to hear what I have to say at that. Someone needs to hear, even just one person needs to hear what I have to say at this time. I get excited. Like there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush in there. And that's where I think it can feel. I get it for clients too. Like when I write a post, I'm like, oh, that one's going to do good, you know? And then I wait for it to come out. And usually I can predict which ones will do better than others, but
that's that creator energy, right? Like when I write a post and it's a story and I know it's going to be a good one, right? I'm going to write about this moment with my baby in the car and this thing that happened, right? I am going back in time and I'm recapturing a moment where there's a lesson, a story, but I am tying it up enough that other people can filter it through their own experience and maybe connect with it, right? And that is this co-creative energy of I'm putting something out there and you're going to use it in your life, or it's going to make you happy, or it's going to entertain you, right? It's that like co-creation process of creating something for social media or in our writing. And so I think no matter what we do, Tammy, we can be authentic, but we're also thinking through it through the lens of story, which is not just this raw word vomit of all the things, right? It's a carefully curated formula to really say, like, here's this thing, here's an insight, and here's something you could take with you, right? And so everything that we do can be through the lens of authenticity. And is this good? And is this useful? And is this helpful for people? But is it going to be as raw and vulnerable as that actual moment was? No, because you're right. We're writing from the scar rather than the wound. Mm-hmm. And that is a whole different experience. And so you could argue that maybe it's not authentic at that point, but it is. It's your authentic moment in this time to capture it in a way that people are going to respond to it, or hopefully respond to it.
We don't have too much more time, but you sharing that story and you create that story and share it online and somebody takes it and creates something else from it, whether it's it inspires them to do something or it inspires a different post. Like that happens to me all the time. Like I'll see a post and I'll be like, oh, that's a great idea. I could share about this. And I do it. The idea of that being co-creation, I don't think has hit me yet. So thank you.
Yeah.
That like co-creating to me means I'm co-creating with the energy of the universe and with the energy of the people I've surrounded myself with, but co-creating from a place of someone else's creation is a little bit of a perspective shift of mine that you just gave me. So I appreciate that.
Ooh.
Like, I like it.
Good. Yeah. Well, everything's energy, right? So you're co-creating with the energy of the universe, but your energy and my energy are always going to be mingling online as we are, even if it's through a screen, right? And so we can have this activation together on this podcast because we are through Zoom, but we're both here and both present. But yes, you're right. I think we can co-create through other people's creations all the time. And that is such a beautiful thing because you're right. There's so many posts that have inspired us or made us change our mind or made us decide to like start a sourdough situation. You know what I mean? There's all these things.
Wait a minute. Feeding sourdough right now?
Oh, no.
My friend is.
I did get a bread maker for Christmas, so I'm having fun there. But
my friend decided to do the sourdough thing, and you have to feed it every day. And I'm poking fun of her, like, oh, did you feed it enough tonight? Like, is your bread hungry? Like, it's weird to me, but I'm sure I'll try fucking making it someday, I'm sure. But
it's a commitment, Tammy.
Oh, anyway, this has been so awesome. I love hanging out with you in any capacity.
Thank you so much.
Tell everyone where they can find you so they can experience your energy online.
Oh, beautiful. Hang out with me on Instagram at @AmyShutte_. Shutte is spelled S-C-H-U-T-T-E. And then you can find me online at hudsonandco.co. But yes, so LinkedIn, Instagram, or my website.
All right. Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Tammy. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. Friend, for listening. My thanks to Brand Out Loud Design for their audio branding and sound design. If you enjoyed the show and want to share it with others, why not leave us a 5-star review? And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Enfield. And until next time, authentically yours. I'm Tammy, and this is the Candid Content Revolution.